tell you how long because it's going to tell my age. You know, she's still young. I'm getting old. But years ago, she was an apartment manager, and she used to come and let me witness to her at the apartments. And I think we used to have Bible studies there. And all of these years, she stayed in touch with me. I want to just, God bless you, amen, for all that you do. Bless you, amen. Praise our God. Genesis chapter 25, and we're going to begin reading at verse 19. Amen. I guess God wanted me to feel better, so I'm starting to see more and more people coming in. So it ain't stopping. Folks are still coming. Bless you, Jesus. So we do have some church members. They just got to get here. Praise the Lord. Amen. Good to see City in the house with her offsprings. Amen. And look at little Traylon back there. He about as tall as I am now. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good to see these young folks. Amen. It make me feel good when I see my young people in the house. Amen. And the Williams clan is just a cluster of them. They like a cluster of grapes. All you got to do is squeeze them and something will come out of them. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. The door is still opening, saints. People still coming. Look at Jesus. Boy, I tell you, I love a church that's still open for business. Praise God. Amen, amen. God bless them. Tell them to come on in. Come on in. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Now, I want y'all to know the reason why my young people are coming in like that, because their pastor been reaching out to them and asking them to come on back and help their daddy out. Amen. And I appreciate my children listening to their daddy. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Genesis chapter 25 and verse 19. Look around, Sister Fergie. Your mama not here. You can see. Come on, look around. You know your mama used to whoop you for looking around. You know what? Praise the Lord. Amen. Verse number 19 of 25 of Genesis. And these are the generation of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, and the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan-Aram, and the sister of Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manners of people shall be separated from thy bowels. The one shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Somebody say amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Everybody say the Old Testament is for our learning and our admonition. Say it is an ensample for an example to those who would live godly. Amen. I'm on a series about faith, and not just any kind of faith, but courageous faith. And I want every one of you to know that your faith will be challenged. If you've been saved any length of time, you know that your faith is going to come under attack. Amen. Somebody said, my faith is going to come under attack. You know, one of my long-standing mottos is faith that has not been tested cannot be trusted. Say it to your neighbor. Say, faith that has not been tested cannot be trusted. So good to have Brother Hunter in the house. Amen. God bless him. We all been thinking about you, and we hadn't seen you in a while. But we glad God sent you back. Prayer bring you back in the house. Amen. I believe in the wings of faith. Amen. Every one of us who have embarked upon living for God, when you said, I do to God, you immediately was enlisted in his army, but every army has an enemy. And the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, I do believe, or verse 7, it says, our adversary. Everybody say, I have an adversary. Walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The enemy is after you. Jesus said in John 10:10, he said, the enemy come but for to steal, kill, and to destroy. I want you to know, once you said I do to God, you became public enemy number one to the devil. I don't care, even if you backslide, you're still the devil's enemy, because he's still mad at you because you left him. And he's still upset. It ain't no makeup plan with the devil. Now, you know, it's amazing that if we backslide, no matter how many times we backslide, the devil will take you back. You know, the devil got more mercy and more grace than the saints. Because, you backslide and you come back to church, the saints have a way of pushing you off. You know, you should have stayed in the church. I don't know why you went out there. But you can backslide 5 times and the devil will take you back every time. We ought to have the same love and the same grace to our brothers and our sisters that have lost their way. But faith will come under attack. Just because you saved does not mean everything gonna be smooth all the time. Quite the contrary. The Bible said many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord deliver them out of them all. You're not gonna be on a smooth street. The road that you're going to be on is going to be a rough road. It's going to be a road full of obstacles. And so today I want to talk to you just a few minutes about the obstacles of faith. There are things that are going to impede your progress, that are going to be things that's going to get in the way. Even you, your own worst enemy, going to get in the way. Because in my flesh there dwells no good thing. There are some of you, you can't stand because you keep tripping over your own feet because you don't know how to walk straight and walk with God. Every time you get through one problem, here come another one. Every time you get over one situation, here come another situation. And you have to understand that living for God sometimes is a struggle. Sometimes you're going to have to go through some things. Sometimes you're going to have to face some things. Sometimes you're going to have to endure some things. And sometimes you just got to plain old get ugly and fight the good fight of faith and lay hold to eternal life. God don't want no jelly back, weak back, spaghetti back folk. He needs some folks with backs like saw logs that will say, for God I live and for God I'm willing to die. Don't get saved and be a wimp. Don't get saved and be a wuss. Come on, get yourself together and make your mind up that I'm going to stand and stand. Therefore, I'm not going to let the devil keep kicking sand in my eyes and telling me how to live and what I can have. Quite the contrary, I'm going to fight the good fight of faith in spite of the obstacles that are in my way. I've made my mind up. I'm going to live for God. And living for God is not easy. It is a struggle. Isaac and Rebekah had 2 children. They were twins, but they were not identical twins. One was a hairy red baby and the other one was smooth skin. One was a man of outdoors and one was a mama's boy. These 2 boys had destiny on their life. Because of what was going on in her womb, she felt a struggle and she wanted to understand what was happening in her belly. She inquired of the Lord, and the Lord told her that you have 2 nations in thy womb. 2 manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and 1 people shall be stronger than the other, and the elder shall serve the younger. This is a prophetic utterance because it is saying that when Jacob and Esau was born, that the older son would eventually serve the younger son. When they were born, the Bible says that Esau came out first. While he was coming out of the womb, Jacob reached out and grabbed his heel. And this is where he gets the name heel grabber. Jacob said, even in the womb, that I will not be last, I will be first. And so even though Isaac and Rebekah lived a peaceable and blessed and prosperous life, there was a sibling rivalry that took place from the time that these two were born. They were in competition with one another. Isaac loved Esau because he was a man of the nature. He loved hunting and doing things outdoors. And Rebekah loved Jacob because he liked being around his mama cooking cookies, amen, and helping her clean the house up. She loved her some Jacob, little Jakey. She loved him. And as they grew up, the rivalry continued. But nobody knew that in the heart and in the mind of the weak child that he had a psychological edge. His psychological edge was that I'm going to be great. And anytime you have greatness in you, destiny will choose your path. And so Jacob, while his brother was out hunting, he came back famished, tired, weary, and Jacob was making some chili or making some kind of mess of porridge, and his brother asked him for some, but this was Jacob's opportunity to take advantage of him. He said, listen, if you want some of this chili, if you want some of this pottage, he said, sell me your birthright. And he said, man, listen, what is that to me right now? I'm hungry. I'm famished. And so he sold his birthright. The Bible said he despised his birthright. And even though it may have been a joke and it was kind of a snide remark, but at the same time, I do believe that it was some seriousness in Jacob. Jacob really wanted to be the firstborn. He really wanted to be blessed. The time came when Isaac's eyes were dim and he couldn't see. And in early times, they would bless the children when they get ready to die and pronounce blessings upon their life. It came time for him to do that. So he called Esau and said, son, I want you to go get me some of that venison that I love so much. And then I'm going to bless you. Rebekah heard him tell Esau that. So she went and got Jacob and she told her son, it's blessing time. He said, son, if you want to be blessed, this is what I need you to do. I want you to go out there and get me one of them goats and I'm going to make it taste like what your daddy liked. And so he said, but listen, Esau is a hairy man. I'm a smooth man. Mama said, I got all that figured out. She said, once you kill a goat, you keep the skins and I'm going to put it in your sleeves and put it all on you. And then we're going to go in together. They were conspiring together. And we're going to go get this blessing. And so when the time came for him to go in, he came in sounding like Jacob. And he said, wait a minute, this sound like Jacob. He said, oh, no, father, it's Esau. He said, come a little closer. So the proof was in the pudding. So he reached and touched him, and he felt all hairy. And he pronounced the blessing over Jacob's life. And Jacob was received the blessing from his father. The only problem is it was a stolen blessing. It wasn't for him, but it was for his brother. But can I tell you that even though Jacob was a liar, a deceiver, he still was able to secure promises from God because he had to run for cover after Esau got back and realized what happened. He was so mad he wanted to kill his brother Jacob. So the parents had to come together and send Jacob off to his uncle's house, Laban, in Syria. You know the story. Jacob was on his way, and at night he had a dream. When he put his head on a pillar, the Bible said he had a dream of a ladder going up and down, coming from earth to heaven and to earth. And the Bible said, and one sat at the top of the ladder while angels ascended and descended. He woke up and he said, surely the Lord was in this place, and I knew it not. Listen, what I want to tell you, even though Jacob committed a sin by lying, by deceiving, but there was something in his heart that wanted God. There was something in his heart that wanted to be blessed. There was something in his heart, and he told the Lord that, listen, God, he said, if you bring me back to this place, he said, I'll come back and I'll pay my tithes. And the Bible said, he erected an altar. Then he took some oil and poured it on a rock because he didn't have a sacrifice. And all of that is significant because the name of the place was called Bethel. And Bethel means the house of God. And here what I want to tell you in point number one, you know that something was going on with Jacob because he got new direction. Somebody say new direction. This new direction caused him to want to pay his tithes. This new direction caused him to want to build an altar. This new direction caused him to pour oil on a rock, because you know that when you come to the house of God, you want to feel some anointing. When you come to the house of God, you want to feel some power. You want to feel some glory. So he went to his father, his uncle Laban's house. He met some young ladies who were his cousins. He had no idea, but he was trying to find his loved ones, found out, amen, who they were. And when he saw Rachel, his heart started palpitating and jumping out of his chest. It was love at first sight. And he told his uncle when he got a chance, he finally told his uncle after he'd been there a while, he said, I would like to marry Rachel. He said, well, son, if you're going to marry her, he said, now, you know, you got to understand, you got to read a little bit further back. When it was time for Rebekah to get married to Joseph, Abraham sent his servant Eliezer to go down to his country and find a wife for his son. Well, he came with a lot of gold and a lot of silver and a lot of money. So Laban was thinking when he saw Jacob, he said, oh, it's so good to have your money here. I mean, it's so good to have you here. He saw all he could see was dollar signs when he saw Jacob. But Jacob didn't have no money. So he told Jacob, listen, this is what I want you to do. I want you to work 7 years and you can have Rachel. 7 years passed. The Bible said they were as nothing. Jacob worked, and on the wedding night, in that time they wrapped the girls up with veils all over so you couldn't tell who she was and how she looked. And so on the wedding night, he went in and he didn't find out till the next morning that it wasn't Rachel, it was Leah. The daddy had double crossed him. Listen, the double crosser had been crossed. Listen, the deceiver had met his match. Somebody shout amen. But let me just say this to you, and backing up just a minute, when he came to the rock and when he came to Peniel, the Bible talks about he met God there. This is when the deceiver met the promise keeper. Somebody said, God is a promise keeper. And even though he was a deceiver, God was going to keep his promise. But you got to reap what you sow. Listen, I don't care how blessed you are. If you've done some things that you're not proud of, God's going to make sure that you reap what you sow. But he'll put a blessing on it. Somebody shout hallelujah. So he goes there and he's been double crossed. Now, here's the problem that Jacob had. He always did things without seeking God. And God would have blessed him with the blessing even if he hadn't deceived his brother. But he deceived his brother. Listen, and so he went in to Leah and made his wife. And 7 days after the feast, he turned around and married another woman, Rachel. Listen, so he ended up bringing trouble into his house. You know you can't have two wives in the same house under the same roof, married to the same man. Now, you know they wasn't black, because if they was black, somebody had to get back. Listen, you already know what I'm trying to tell you. That ain't going to fly. That ain't going to hunt. Listen, that's crazy up in here. Listen, I can already see, city, you done lost your mind up in here. You ain't finna bring nobody up in here with me. Amen. And listen, you done almost lost it. I'm just trying to help a few folks, because I'm trying to tell you that Jacob got himself in a mess. Listen, I'm telling you, when obstacles come to faith, sometimes it can be a messy situation. You marrying folk ain't ask God nothing. You just looking at beauty and looking at lips, hips, and fingertips. Amen. And to getting all, ooh, look at that. Oh my God, look at that. My goodness, Lord, that girl fine. Look at that. You have lost your mind. Amen. And I can't say it like I want to say it, but you know you done lost your mind over some stuff. Amen. And then you find out, amen, you just signed up for trouble. You just signed up for a headache. He had two women in his life. Amen. And the Bible said that he began to work 7 more years for Rachel. And after those 7 years, his father-in-law change his wages 10 times. I mean, he was going through all kinds of trouble. What goes around came around and came around and came around. And you know, Jacob decided, I got to go back to the house of my fathers. God came to him in a dream and said, go back to the house of your fathers. Now, Jacob could have waited till Laban came back in town to let him know that he was leaving, but he waited till he left out of town, and Jacob grabbed his stuff and grabbed his children and took off and went to his father's house. Listen, and Laban had to catch up with him just to say goodbye to his children. You know, sometimes our greatest fears are never realized. We got so much fear about this happening, that happened, when God always got your back. You so worried about being broke. You so worried about your house being repossessed. You so worried about your car. Amen. And God already got your back. He got a ram in the bush. Every time you think it's gonna go bad, it gets better. Every time you think you're going down, you end up going up. Every time you think this is the last time, you're fired and you get a promotion. Somebody say, you don't know the God we serve. So here Jacob is on his way back to his father's house. He remembered he had a problem. It was named Esau. Jacob decided, now this is a real hero. He sent his wives and children ahead first. He gonna be the man and wait on him. Y'all gone, children, y'all gone. Heard that Esau was coming to meet him with 400 men, and Jacob had to get real. Jacob ain't got to wrestling with that angel, and when he got to wrestling with that angel, he got a name change. You know, the word supplanter means to supplant. He supplanted his brother from his blessing. And God said, listen, if you want to be blessed, son, you're going to have to get a hold of God. And he went and got a hold of God. I'm talking about obstacles that he had to face. He got a hold of God and ended up with a name change. And that name change also was the name of a nation called Israel. And so after he and his brother reconciled, his brother told him, listen, I got a place for you to come stay with me. He told his brother, you go on and go ahead. Jacob, still not seeking God and not praying, he went another direction. And so he went this way. He said, no, I better go this way. And he ended up in a place called Shechem. And he got there, and his daughter Dinah got kidnapped. And not only kidnapped, ended up getting raped. Then his brothers, her brothers got so upset. You don't mess with nobody's sisters. Amen. Brothers got upset. They went into the town and they were doing just like daddy. They act like they wanted to make a treaty with him. We're going to be homies. We're going to be cuz. But what I need y'all to do, I need y'all to be circumcised. He got all the men of the city to be circumcised because the king's son loved Dinah. But they did that. And while these men were recovering, these sons walked into the city and killed every man in the city because they were so upset, so angry about what happened to their sister. Oh, listen, look at all the conflict that came into the house. Do you know we're our own worst enemies? We're the ones that bring trouble in our own house because we won't set order in the house. But I like Joshua. He said, if it seem evil for you to serve the Lord, he said, you choose. He said, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Listen, man of God, look at this, and woman of God, go set some order in your house. Quit playing. Quit playing church. Quit acting like you a Christian and be a Christian. Quit acting like you save and be saved. Quit putting on airs. Quit perpetrating. Quit, amen, going through the motions, and be a real woman of God, and be a real man of God, and tell your children who your God is. And when the Lord came to Jacob, he said, I'm the God of Abraham, I'm the God of Isaac. But notice, he didn't say I'm the God of Jacob. And the reason why he didn't say he was the God of Jacob, because Jacob had not turned his life around yet. Jacob had not got saved. See, some of y'all in the church, but you ain't saved. Some of y'all in the church, but you ain't delivered. Some of y'all in the saved, still, but you still got Egypt in your mind and Egypt in your heart. You look the part, you dress the part, but your heart is far from it. You got a form of godliness, but you're denying the power thereof. And so Jacob finally got to a place when it looked like his whole family was going to be destroyed for what his sons had done. He finally sought God. He finally decided, this is it. I got to get my life together. And I'm telling you, it took obstacle after obstacle after obstacle. Your daughter getting raped, losing wages, having to marry two women. He didn't really have to marry Rachel because Judah came out of Leah. Y'all missed that one. That went over your head. Amen. He went and married something that God never told him to marry. He wanted her out of his flesh. But Leah was the one. Leah had Reuben. She had Simeon and Levite. Levite is where the priesthood came from. And then after the priesthood came Judah. Judah is where Jesus came from, the Messiah. Judah is where David came from. Come on, somebody. Judah is where Mary came from. Judah is where Joseph came from. And so what I'm saying to each and every one of you, just because it looked good doesn't mean it's good for you. Amen. Listen, Leah is the woman that God rose and called blessed because she gave birth to a promise. Somebody said she gave birth to a promise. And when she got to Judah, the Bible says she left off from having children. And the Bible says that she said now, when she got to Judah, now, somebody say now, now will I praise him. Look at all the stuff that Jacob took his family through, all the stuff that his children went through, all because he refused to set order in his house. He refused to seek after God. But it was when he went after God that the Bible said a place was found for Jacob and the blessings of the Lord lingered upon his life. Listen, even though we're going to reap what we sow, believe me, whoever you are, no matter what you do, you will reap what you sow. You can be blessed and highly favored, but you still gonna reap what you sow. David was a man after God's own house, but the Bible said the sword never left his house because David brought conflict in his house. Listen, you got to learn that Satan will set these obstacles in your way. He will do things, amen, that will cause envy and strife and all kind of stuff to rise up in your house. This is why you have to be a teacher of righteousness and tell your children and tell your family and tell your wife and tell your husband, listen, we're going to live this way. This is the way we're going to live for God. And listen, they may not like it, but honey, if God is for you, then the question is, who can be against you? If God is on your side, it don't matter if they kicking and screaming. It don't matter if they screaming and hollering. It don't matter if they rebel against you to the umpteenth degree, that God's going to have your back and God's going to stand with you. And having done all to stand, you just keep on standing, because the devil don't have a leg to stand on when God is behind you. The devil don't have a horse in this race or a nickel in this quarter when God is for you. If God be for you, I don't care who is against you. You shall survive. Somebody say, I shall survive. Hallelujah. Face obstacles. Don't let ruly children stop you from doing what's right. Don't let a marital situation stop you from doing what's right. Sometimes you got to get yourself together. Quit judging everybody for your crazy stuff. You want to blame everybody else, but you ain't never looked in the mirror and looked at yourself and realized you the problem. Amen. I've learned in the life that I live that I can't blame everything on everybody. Sometimes I gotta look at myself and realize I'm the reason why things are the way that they are. I deal with me. It's called self-inspection. You gotta inspect yourself and quit inspecting everybody else. Look at yourself and realize what's hindering you, what's stopping you. You don't pray, you don't fast, you don't read the Bible. Amen. You don't talk holy, you don't live holy. Listen. You're not living much, but you want to tell everybody else how to live. But listen, when you walk in by faith, you got to clear the path out of the way so you can walk in the light as he's in the light, so you can have fellowship one with another. This ain't no time to become an enemy of your friend. This is the time for you to come together. A house divided against itself cannot stand. Your house can't stand when you're fussing and fighting all the time and coming after each other all the time. You got to make your mind up, I want to be happy. And if you want to be happy, you don't have to be right. But if you be happy, everything will go right. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. When I counsel married couples, I tell them you have a choice. You can be right or you can be happy. Amen. Happiness is a choice. You choose to be happy. You choose to live for God. You choose to do the right thing. God ain't gonna make you live right. He ain't gonna make you do right. If you want to go to another direction, he'll let you go another direction. If you want to act a fool, he'll let you act a fool. But at the end of the day, you still got to do it right. Because God don't bless wrong, he bless right. Somebody say, God don't bless wrong, he bless right. Listen, I'm closing. The Bible said a foolish woman plucketh her house down with her hand, but a wise woman buildeth her house. It said wisdom has hewed out her seven pillars. Somebody said seven pillars of wisdom. Listen, he that this own house shall inherit the wind. People that just go and stir their own house up, all you're going to get is nothing. Because that's all wind is, nothing. I've learned I don't have to fight every time. I've learned that everything ain't Custer's last stand. Sometimes you can live to fight another day. I might be right, but I want to be happy, so I'm going to just let it go. Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody say let it go. Why are you holding on to it? You got to watch folk that want to hold on to stuff all the time. It's called grudge-itis. You got to get rid of grudge-itis. Amen. I want a happy life. And you know, men, we say it all the time, happy, happy wife, happy life. Amen. I try to keep Lorna happy. Amen. I ain't got time for no fights. I ain't got time for all that crazy stuff. Amen. I want to be happy. Somebody say, I want to be happy. That's me. I just want to be happy. You got your problem, you stick to your problem. But me, I'm going to be happy. Somebody say, be happy. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry. Just be happy. But some people make themselves unhappy. They just sit around and think about all the bad. Oh, me, oh, my. You don't know the trouble I see. You don't know what I'm dealing with. You don't know what I go through. Oh, me. Somebody on the moaner's bench. If you spend that much time moaning and groaning to God, you might can get the victory. Amen. You have to decide that you want to be happy. Because a person can't make you happy. You got to decide that you want to be happy. Amen. Listen, that's too much woman for me to try to make her happy. She needs some other things to make her happy, like a credit card, a shopping cart. I hope she ain't looking for me to be the only one to make her happy. That's too much person for one person to try to make happy. You got to think yourself happy. Amen. You got to decide you're going to be happy in spite of. Bills are due. Rent is due. Broke as the Ten Commandments. But that shouldn't take away your happiness, because what you're going through is temporary and subject to change at any time. Listen, I praise him all the time because he can bless me anytime. God can turn this thing around before I know it. So if I'm going to go through, I want to go through it being happy, not being sad, not being mad, not being defeated. I'm going to go through it with a shout of dance, because it ain't going to stop what's going on in your life. If the lights are off, the water is off, if you ain't got no money, you might as well just praise the Lord in the devil's face and say, in your face, devil, this is a temporary situation, but I'll be up again. Just you wait and see. I'll be up again. Somebody say, I'll be up again. Listen, listen, don't you let life's troubles and life trials become an albatross around your neck. Don't you stress yourself out. Don't you spaz yourself out. Don't get caught up in strama and drama, amen, in your life. Make sure that you understand that happiness is a choice. Listen, I'm telling you, I don't know what Pharrell was thinking about, but he said, if you feel like I feel, happiness is the truth. Listen, he said, be happy. It's time for you to be happy. It's time for you to put a smile on your face. It's time to kick the devil out of your life. Kick the devil out of your mind. Kick the devil out of your spirit. Decide that you're going to be happy. Somebody say, I want to be happy. Come on, every child of God that want to be happy, I want you to stand in God's presence and begin to give him praise. Listen, I'm telling you, the devil don't stop. He continues to aggravate, agitate. He's trying to frustrate you, but you need to make your mind up. No obstacle, no devil, no hindrance, no problem is going to stop my faith. My faith is going to take me through. My faith gonna help me get the victory. My faith gonna help me overcome. All I gotta do is put a smile on my face and make sure that I am happy. Somebody say happy. Be happy. You might as well put your hands together and praise the Lord, because thinking is not gonna change one hair, black or white. Thinking ain't gonna change your height, so you might as well praise God right where you are. Listen, if you don't feel good today, it's a decision on your own. If you don't feel like going on, it's a decision you got to make. But you can choose to get up where you are. Decide that things are going to be different. Decide that I'm going to be the head and not the tail. You can decide I'm going to be above and not beneath. I'm going to be blessed and highly favored. I made my mind up that no obstacle is going to stop me. Every obstacle become a stepping stone for me to go higher. I said a stepping stone for me to go higher. Oh yes. Some of y'all need to shake the devil off and tell your devil, get up off of me. Get up off of me. I'm tired of being down. I'm tired of being sad. I'm tired of being defeated. I'm tired of being frustrated. I'm tired of being irritated. Let him get up off of you. Shake the devil off. Shake the devil off and rebuke him. Oh, yes. Come on, church. It's your time to be blessed. Listen, Jacob was blessed in spite of his troubles. He was blessed in spite of his obstacles. He was blessed in spite of the conflict and the mess that was going on in his life. You too can be happy. You too can have greater. You too can go higher. Get ready for your breakthrough. Get ready for your miracle. Come on, church. Take it higher. Come on, take it higher. Everybody put your hands in the air. Praise him like you just don't care. Come on, praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Come on, let the life of the Spirit get a hold of you. Let the joy of the Holy Ghost get a hold of you. Come on and put your all in your worship. Let the devil know that your worship is for real. Come on. Yeah. Come on, church, give him praise. Give him glory. You might as well go for it. You might as well get you some relief. You might as well get lifted up when you praise him. Come on and go to the next level. Come on, come on. And decide that I am going to be victorious. Slapping the devil upside his head. Every time you clap your hands, you put the hurting on the devil. Not only that, but every time you stomp, you stomping him up under your feet. You got the victory. You got the V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. Victory. Praise don't make you praise him. Praise is a choice. You got to choose to praise him. You got to use your breath for praise. Because everything that has breath, ought to praise the Lord. My. Somebody said, my obstacles can't stop my faith. Said, my faith is going to take me through. Come on, give God a praise right there. My faith is going to take me through. I challenge all of you that are here. Put your obstacles and your troubles on notice. I want you to decree and declare that I'm coming your way. Tell your trouble, I'm not scared of you. Tell your problem, I'm not running from you no more. Tell your situation, I'm going through. Matters not what the rest of the world is going to do. Tell them, I'm facing this thing head on. I made my mind up that I will live for God. And nothing's going to stop me. Somebody said, nothing's going to stop me. Come what may. Live, swim, sink or die, perish or survive. I am going to make it. Somebody said, I'm going to make it. Say, this trial that I'm going through, I'm going to make it. Tell your neighbor, say, you can make it. Amen. Don't ever let no one tell you you can't make it. You know what faith is? Faith is a you can make it spirit. Look at somebody and say, faith is the you can make it spirit. If you have faith, say, you can make it. You can make it. Because that's what it is. That's the you can make it spirit. And my faith tells me I can make it. My faith tells me I can take it. My faith tells me I'm strong. My faith tells me I have the victory. You can make it because you got faith. And faith will take you through when nothing else will. Your faith will take you through. Amen. This is how you make it. It's through faith. Somebody said through faith. Go in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. I want you to read how many times the word through is mentioned. And I want you to read how many times by is mentioned. It says by faith and through faith. God gives you faith so you can go through. Somebody said through faith, they subdue kingdoms. Through faith, they turned the armies of the aliens around. Somebody said through faith. God gave them faith, so it was by faith, so that they can go through. Somebody said it was through faith. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? In other words, no man, no woman will have an excuse because he's giving you faith to make it. Faith to take it. Faith not to give up. When I played football, I had a determination. I had a winner's attitude. I didn't like losing. And the years that I played, we only lost one game. And because my mind was made up, we're going to win this game. Somebody said, we can make it. Listen, they said, you can make it. So this trial you're going through, God ain't going to let it last you too long. You can make it because you have a faith attitude. Somebody said faith is contagious. Do you know if you got faith that somebody else can catch it? This is highly contagious. Tell your friends, say, if you don't want no faith, don't come around me because I got something contagious. It's real contagious. It's highly contagious. You got to be quarantined when you're around me. Because if you're around me, I ain't going to let you be down. I'm not going to let you be defeated. I'm not going to let you feel sorry for yourself. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. There was a time when folks that had faith, folks that didn't have faith, they were better. Because they realized Either I'm going to have to start clapping my hands and jumping around and doing something, or these folk going to wear me out. Faith has a way of bringing you up, and that's what we want to do. Somebody say, obstacles of faith will not stop me, because my faith can make it. Brian, your faith can make it. You know what your faith is? It's a galleon stallion that comes from the deep recesses of your heart, and it start causing you to reach for higher heights and deeper depths in here. You're in him. Your faith is so powerful that it can turn molehills into mountains, babbling brooks into oceans. That's how powerful your faith is. Can turn a 9-volt battery into 440 energy. Listen, when you got faith, faith can energize you. Unctionize. Amen, amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the faith that overcomes obstacles.